Everybody, again, I wanted to show you, we were talking yesterday, thank you, about the symbolism of matzah and chametz, and the fact that the Torah itself gives two different reasons, as well as the Haggadah later, why we eat matzah on Pesach. One reason is lechem oni, that it commemorates servitude and slavery and affliction. And the other is the idea that they would have let their dough rise, but they didn't have time to let their dough rise because Hashem said they had to leave exactly at the crack of dawn. And as a result, therefore, eating matzah is what is called Secher Lechipazon. It commemorates the hurriedness, the rush, the alacrity with which we have to leave Mitzrayim. In that sense, matzah is both a symbol of slavery and a symbol of redemption. Now, as an aside, let me point out that Chazal give us other symbolic meanings of matzah and chametz as well. They're not directly connected to what we're talking about, but just to go over that, one is that you know, and I mentioned also, but I know you've heard it before as well, that matzah is a sign of redemption because it is humble. It is not puffed up. Although today they make all these matzah rolls, have you had them? They're like they look like bread, which one could raise the question whether it's proper to have something that looks and tastes like bread on Pesach. But putting that aside, that falls into the genre of false lobster and shrimp and all those other things. Matzah traditionally represents humility, not being filled with yourself, and as a result it is connected to holiness, as opposed to chametz, that is connected to arrogance and gaiva. That is one meaning. A second meaning, which is also important, the Maharal points out, is that chametz represents inertia and stagnation. Why is that so? Because when you put water on flour, or even if the water falls on the flour, chametz will occur automatically if you do nothing. You don't have to do something to make something chametz. Chametz is what happens by itself. If you want to stop the process of chametz by making it matzah, you have to take action. So the Maharal points out the spiritual significance of matzah versus chametz is that in order to accomplish closeness to God, it doesn't just happen. Rather, it requires decisive action. And the final reference to chametz and matzah is chametz spoils. It turns rotten and moldy. If you have bread, you know, it eventually spoils. A matzah does not spoil, right? They find matzah in Masada, you know, 2,000 years old, and you can still eat it. Some of the shmura matzah sometimes tastes like it may come from that period of time and the like. But matzah does not spoil. You know, it's hard, and it's always hard, you know. Now, I have to admit that maybe this thought of the Maharal might reflect an Ashkenazic bias as to what matzah is. In other words, as you know, the Ashkenazic matzah, which is the matzah most of us have always seen, is hard, brittle cracker that's largely burnt. But, you know, theoretically, a matzah could be flexible, like it would resemble a lafa or a pita, but it's matzah, not chametz, meaning it was not allowed to ferment. Now, the minhag of Ashkenazim is we don't make matzah that way because there's a chashash that you have to let it rise a little bit. Remember, chametz is if it rises for 18 minutes. So the Sfaradim who bake soft matzah, they're willing to, you know, go to the end. They're willing to let it rise 16 minutes and whatever it is. So that's risky behavior. You're playing with fire in a case like that. So Ashkenazim play it safe, that we immediately put it in a very, very hot oven, so we get a dry, brittle cracker. But Sfaradim, not all, but many Sfaradim were willing to make soft matzah. In fact, it would seem that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that's exactly what matzah was, and the proof is from the famous sandwich of Hillel. Remember, Hillel, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, would make a sandwich. This is a shawarma with Pesach, matzah, maror. He would wrap the matzah. Korech means wrap. He would wrap the korban Pesach, some lamb, and morah. Now, a hard matzah cannot be wrapped. I mean, that's not, we don't wrap it, we break it, or whatever it is. So obviously, the lashon of korech, which implies you could wrap it around, meant that they were using soft matzah. There's a bit in the United States, there's a bit of a controversial discussion where some people say they want the OU, let's say, to certify the soft matzah, because some people would like to have the soft matzah and the like, and the OU doesn't want to do it because the minhag of Ashkenazim for hundreds and hundreds of years is not to allow the fermentation that would be necessary for it to be soft and bendable. So be it as it may, you should talk to your local rabbi about all of those issues. But the Maral's point, I think, that matzah doesn't spoil is only true of Ashkenazic matzah. So we have a total, actually, so if you summarize, we actually have a total of five reasons for the significance of matzah. Number one, matzah is a commemoration of the poverty and affliction of slavery. Number one. Number two, matzah is a sign of the alacrity and the rush, the hurriedness by which we left Mitzrayim, because we didn't have time to let our dough rise. So those are commemorative. In other words, the first two reasons are linked to the historical experience of the Exodus, either the slavery of the of Mitzrayim or the freedom. And the other three reasons are linked to a more of a spiritual idea, and that is, matzah is humility, chametz is arrogance, puffed up. Number two, matzah is action and initiative, chametz is inertia and laziness. And number three, matzah retains its freshness, or at least in the negative sense. Matzah does not spoil, chametz spoils, and therefore the concept is all connected. That when you're humble and you take initiative in serving God, you will remain in good shape. When you have arrogance, there will be spoilage and rot. Okay, so these are different symbols of the idea of chametz and matzah. A good question was asked after the shir yesterday. That is, if chametz represents the negative, the bad, the evil, the arrogant, the gaiva, then we ought to eat matzah the whole year. Why do we eat chametz after Pesach? I mean, after all, are we basically saying it's okay to be bad after Pesach? Even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? When we're supposed to be good, we eat bread. So the short answer is, the Maral says, there's actually a very profound meaning there. That is, it's true that chametz represents the Yetzer Hara, but Judaism says you can take even the physical aspects of existence and you can elevate them. Meaning, we don't say in Judaism, be an ascetic. We don't say withdraw from the world. Now, for 7 days a year, I purify myself by disengaging from the chametz, but by building myself up with humility, I'm now ready to confront even the negatives in life and elevate them. You see, if we were to go to a 100% matzah all the time, right, the problem would be that would be a philosophy of renunciation, a philosophy of asceticism. And Judaism says, fater, the other way around, take the physical and elevate it. Take the animalistic and elevate it and sanctify it. Meaning, by disengaging for a week, I'm now ready to confront the material and elevate it. That's kind of the message. But to go back to the historical problem I raised yesterday, because I want to show you some sukkim inside, I had raised the question that many Rishonim ask. Chazal don't ask the question directly, but the Rishonim ask the question. And that is, how can I possibly say the reason we eat matzah is to commemorate the fact that in the morning of Pesach, they didn't have time to let their dough rise? They couldn't have let their dough rise because they were commanded 2 weeks before that they weren't allowed to eat chametz. And even not just eat chametz, they weren't even allowed to have chametz. Right? Remember, chametz is unique. Not only can you not eat it, and not only can you not get benefits from it, like fuel during Pesach, you're not even allowed to own it. Okay, this is very unique. There's no other trade thing that's that way. I could own, if I wanted to, I could own ham, I could own basar b'chalav, as long as I don't eat it or use it. And a ham I could even sell to a guy. Basar b'chalav I couldn't sell to a guy because it's asr b'ana, but there's no issur of owning it. The only prohibited food that you're not even allowed to own is chametz on Pesach. Very, very severe. And that is why we have to either destroy our chametz before Pesach, or eat our chametz before Pesach, or in later generations, we were permitted to sell our chametz before Pesach on the theory that if it doesn't belong to me, I'm not transgressing, even if it's in my house. But that is the sale of chametz to a goy. And that itself has a lot of controversy, because there were some rabbis who didn't like that type of sale, because they say if you're still keeping it in your house and you're intending to eat it after Pesach, are you really selling it? Meaning, what would be if the guy would show up and say, I'm here to pick it up? Would you say, well, sure, it's yours, which is what you should say? Or would you say, you crazy? So some gedolim were not in favor. In fact, in Yerushalayim in particular, there are people who are very strict. You may notice, well, if you were here last year, and you'll notice it this year, that sometimes stores like to boast in Haredi neighborhoods that all of our chametz merchandise was baked after Pesach, and we did not rely on mechiras chametz. Now, whether that's a correct attitude is open to question, because mechiras chametz is a takana. So to simply say we don't trust it is a zilzal, is a cheapening of a takanas chachamim. But okay, but that's far afield. But be it as it may, though, the question becomes, right, the historical question, right? I mentioned yesterday, how could we say they didn't have time to let their dough rise? They couldn't let their dough rise because there was a prohibition of chametz given to them 2 weeks before. So if you recall, I gave you the answer of the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim. And the Ran says there is a difference between the first Pesach in Mitzrayim and every Pesach after that. It is true that Ladoros, every Pesach after that, you're not allowed to have chametz for 7 days. But in that first Pesach of Mitzrayim, they were not allowed to have chametz at the Seder. But the next morning, they could have had chametz, and therefore they could have baked chametz. They were not allowed to, because Hashem said, you got to get out. They didn't have time. So in commemoration of that event, Hashem said, from now on, don't have chametz for 7 days. Now, I just want to show you how the Ran gets that from the psukim themselves. It's not so obvious, actually. The simple reading of the psukim is the opposite of the Ran. If you look, or I'll tell you outside, but it'd be good if you have a chumash. If you look at Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12, like these are all of the laws of the Korban Pesach and the Seder, which is going to precede the plague of the firstborn. Now, these laws were given to the Jewish people 2 weeks before Pesach. They were given Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And it actually starts off with a mitzvah that is not unique to Pesach at all. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. This month, Nisan, is the first of the months, right? The Torah always counts the months from Nisan. And then there's a commandment that on the 10th you shall take a lamb, you shall inspect it, and on the 14th you shall slaughter this lamb, that's Erev Pesach, to be the Korban Pesach. You shall take the blood of the lamb and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel on top. And that will be the sign that the Malach HaMavet shall not enter your house. That sign of faithfulness to Hashem. It's not just so much a physical sign, but that sign of faithfulness to God will bring protection to your homes, and you shall eat the Pesach that night. And then there are laws The Pesach must be roasted. It cannot be cooked in liquid or boiled. And as you know, from among Ashkenazim at least, this is the basis of the custom that we do not eat. We do not eat roasted meat at the Seder, so people shouldn't confuse it with the Pesach sacrifice. In other words, we do specifically what the Korban Pesach was not, so that people shouldn't confuse it. Now, many Sfardim, not all, because the problem is over the years, there have been a blending of Ashkenazim and Sfardim. But many Sfardim actually have an opposite approach. They say, in order to commemorate the Korban Pesach, you eat roasted meat, right? So there are different culinary, besides rice, that's another thing, there are different culinary minhagim regarding the Seder as well. So far, just if you follow, so far you'll notice I have not mentioned Chametz or Matzah yet. I just want to follow the verse. Right. Eat the Korban Pesach. And then it mentions, do not let the Korban Pesach remain uneaten until the morning. If it remains uneaten until the morning, it must be burnt with fire. Now there is a machlokas in the Gemara. Is this morning or midnight? According to one opinion, you cannot eat the Korban Pesach after midnight. And that is why the Afikomen, which is a commemoration of the Korban Pesach, is supposed to be eaten before midnight. Okay, all right. And so shall you eat it. Your loins should be girded, meaning you should feel that you're about to leave any moment. Wear your belt. Your shoes should be on your feet. Your walking stick should be in your hands. And on that night, Hashem says, I will pass through the land of Egypt. And I will, you know, kill the firstborn, etc. Again, notice how many verses I've read without any mention of Chametz or Matzah. Okay, this is very important. Okay. Now, then it says, and that day shall be an eternal memorial for you, and you shall celebrate it for God in all future generations. 7 days shall you eat matzah, meaning not eat chametz. So here is the thing. The commandment not to eat chametz was for 7 days, was indeed given, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But it was not given to that generation, or that year. Because it is mentioned only when Hashem is describing what will be kept in future generations. So, Hashem knew the future. Hashem knew that the next morning they're going to try to bake bread, and the bread is not going to be able to rise because they have to get out. And therefore Hashem wants to memorialize that. So he's commanding them, telling them, next year at this time, you're not be allowed to have chametz for 7 days. But that particular year, they actually were allowed to have chametz. Of course, there's another verse that says that the Seder itself, they couldn't have chametz. That's a little later on. So this is how the Ran understands that whole issue, that Pesach Mitzrayim, Chametz was permitted the next morning. It's only Pesach Doros not, and it's very meduyak, because the only reference to Shivas Yamim, 7 days, not having Chametz, is only Pesach Doros, and not Pesach Mitzrayim. Okay? Yeah.
But I understand that solves the problem, but what would be the purpose of having the first year be different than the other year?
Okay, alright, so this is the point. The point would be this. Since matzah has a double purpose, it is lechem oni and zecher l'chipazon. So the first Seder, the idea of zecher l'chipazon doesn't make sense because they're eating that matzah before there is a chipazon. So it only had a significance of lechem oni. So that's the idea. In other words, the matzah we eat at the Seder has a double purpose. The matzah they ate at their Seder had a single purpose. And that's why it only applied to the Seder itself, because that is the night that we commemorate the Lechem Oni. Now, let me mention an interesting Ha'ora of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Even though the Torah says, 7 days you eat matzah, but we understand, Chazal understand, that doesn't mean there's a mitzvah to eat matzah 7 days. The mitzvah of eating matzah is only the Seder night. And when the Torah says eat matzah for 7 days, it's not giving you a mitzvah to eat matzah, but it's really a negative. Eat matzah meaning don't eat chametz. So putting aside the Yom Tov meals and the like, if I want to live on potatoes or eggs or coconut macaroons and I don't eat chametz for 7 days, that's good enough. You don't have to eat matzah for 7 days. And when it says 7 days you shall eat matzah, it's really understood in the negative sense. Eat matzah meaning don't eat the chametz. But the first night of Pesach, the Seder, it is not enough not to eat chametz. You have to eat matzah. And that's why we make a bracha. Asher kiddushana b'mitzvosa b'tzivano al achilas matzah. Now all of this is well-known halacha. But the Vilna Gaon has an interesting chiddush that one should be aware of. Vilna Gaon's chiddush is, even though it is not obligatory to eat matzah outside of the Seder night, if you do eat matzah every single day of Pesach, you are fulfilling a mitzvah. This is an unusual concept. This is not an obligatory mitzvah, but it is what we call a mitzvah kiyumit. Because after all, the Torah did write, 7 days you shall eat matzah. So even if Chazal understand that that's not mandatory, the very fact that the Torah wrote it b'lashon mitzvah. So therefore the Vilna Gaon actually says, you are supposed to eat some matzah every single day of Pesach. It is not mandatory, but he says you're mekayem a mitzvah. Now, the question that this raises actually is, well, what type of matzah would be good for that mitzvah? In other words, we know that for the Seder night, there's a special rule that even if something is 100% kosher lePesach matzah, meaning, by the way, regular matzah is not even kosher lePesach, you know, regular matzah might actually be chametz, because they allow it to rise and they bake it, you know, even though you can't tell, but, right, so you have to be absolutely sure that your matzah is kosher lePesach. But even if it's kosher lePesach, it may not be kosher for the Seder. Because for the Seder, there's a special law, halacha, that the matzah must be made for the purpose of this mitzvah. That's called matzah shmura. And we actually paskin that not only must it be baked with that intention, but it must even be harvested with that intention. The wheat must be harvested. That's why sometime in February or whatever it is, wherever the winter wheat is harvested, a bunch of like from people go to, whether it's North Dakota in America, let's say, you know, they go to these wheat fields and they have a whole ceremony and they harvest the wheat and they say, L'shem matzas mitzvah. This is being done for the mitzvah of matzah, or l'shem mitzvahs matzah, or l'shem matzahs mitzvah. You can say it either way. And if you've ever seen, we take the guys, I don't go myself, I mean, but Or Sameach takes guys to a matzah factory in Mea Shearim. I don't know if you've been there. It's good. It's a nice thing to see. And you'll see all of the steps, the mixing of the flour. They go very fast. But every step, l'shem mitzvahs matzah, they knead it, they put it in the oven, they take it out of the oven. Every step they're saying, this is done for the mitzvah of matzah. So one could raise this question, okay, Seder night, if I just eat regular kosher lePesach matzah, I don't fulfill the mitzvah of the Seder. But the question you could ask is, what if I eat kosher lePesach matzah during the week? Do I fulfill the Vilna Gaon's mitzvah of eating matzah? Or would he say that it got to be matzah shmur? In other words, the question is, in order to fulfill the Vilna Gaon's non-obligatory mitzvah, do you need all of the conditions that you need for the Pesach Seder? Now, you may have met people, there are people who have a minhag that they eat matzah shmura not only at the Seder, but they will eat matzah shmura throughout Pesach. Now that's expensive. Matzah shmura is expensive matzah. But the basis for their law would be that they want to fulfill the mitzvah of the Vilna Gaon, and they maintain that the only way you fulfill that mitzvah is with the same type of matzah that you need at the Seder, right? That would be the Svara. Other people say no. Other people say that the obligatory commandment requires matzah shmura, but to fulfill the Vilna Gaon's commandment, that could be anything that is kosher, again, kosher with Pesach matzah. Now again, I don't want to tell anyone they have to do any of this, because remember, we're not dealing with an obligation. The obligation is only the Seder night. We are dealing with the fulfillment. Of course, it's a good thing to do extra mitzvahs. The fulfillment of what is called a mitzvah kiyumis. And the question then becomes, do I do the mitzvah kiyumis with any kosher Pesach matzah, or must it be the same matzah that I use at the Seder? So that's a machlokas, as it were, within the Vilna Gaon's. The Vilna Gaon didn't say befevri, so that's a machlokas within the Vilna Gaon's position.
Isn't, like, the matzah that we have, even that's not marked shmura, isn't it to some extent guarded, just not maybe from the time of harvesting, from the time of grinding, or whatever?
Yes. So here's the thing. Certainly, if it's kosher lePesach, it had to have been guarded from the time of at least grinding,
yeah,
for sure. Otherwise, it wouldn't be kosher lePesach. But the question becomes that the mitzvah of Shimur is not only being guarded from becoming chametz, that's implicit in kosher lePesach, but it has to be made with the intention that it will be used for the mitzvah. That requires, you know, conscious statements, the Shema, etc. So that you would not have with a regular... No, I don't know. I mean, the truth is, I'm not sure why it would be so difficult to add that in. Like, why is Shmura Matzah so expensive? I mean, if the only difference is you say these declarations, it wouldn't be that difficult. But there's another issue, because many poskim say that the requisite lishma can only be done on hand processes, not on machine processes. That's why most people, not everybody, use hands-made Shmura. Now, when you're making the large quantities of matzah, you couldn't all make it by hand. So, according to that, definitionally, you would not have lishma for that, even though it's guarded from chametz. That's for sure. Yeah, I'm sorry. There was another. Yeah.
the same idea from the Vilna Gaon is we should eat matzah every day.
Yeah.
Not just the first day. Is this the same reason why people eat bread for breakfast? And they make your kind of a zone, because you're not required to do that. But
Yeah. It's not the same reason at all, but it's a similar idea. And that is, during the year, there is no mitzvah to eat bread, but there is a mitzvah to bench. So as a result, I go out of my way to eat the bread, some people will do, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of benching. But by the Vilna Gaon by Pesach is giving something a little different. It's true that you're going to bench, but it's not merely the benching is why you eat the matzah. You eat the matzah because the Torah says, 7 days shall you eat matzah. And even if that's not obligatory, but that's still called a mitzvah. So this is different than the bread. The bread is a means to benching. The matzah, the Vilna Gaon says, is an actual mitzvah that you are fulfilling, right? So it's even more than during the year. Okay? Yeah.
Does that mitzvah of Balchot of Asvah only apply to Rikat HaMazon, or Me'in Shalosh is included in that?
Yeah, that's a good question. We seem to rule that only applies to the benching on bread.
Oh, wow.
So the bracha of Al HaMichya, although you're chayev to make an Al HaMichya, it does not count as a Doraisa bracha and the like. But now I just want to mention one final interesting halacha, not halacha, but observation that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky made. We discussed yesterday the very interesting law, halacha, I'm not saying law, that at the Seder you have to eat poor man's bread. You can't eat rich matzah. Right? The term is lechem oni, and not matzah ashira. Now, what is matzah ashira? Matzah ashira is where the flour was mixed with apple juice or egg yolk or cocoa or wine. And the reason is, even though it's still kosher lePesach, at least for putting aside the Ashkenazic custom, but I'll get to that later, but as far as the Gemara is concerned, it's kosher lePesach, but you can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah at the Seder with it, because the Torah says the Seder matzah has to be lechem oni, the bread of affliction, and not matzah ashira, the bread of luxury. So here's what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky wants to argue. He wants to argue that even though you can't use matzah ashira at the Seder, you could use it to fulfill the Vilna Gaon's mitzvah the rest of Pesach. And his reason is the following. Matzah at the Seder has two ideas. The bread of affliction and a remembrance of the fact that we didn't have time to let our dough rise. But Rav Yaakov wants to say that's only at the Seder, because the Seder we relive the Exodus of Egypt. During the rest of the week, matzah only has the symbolism of the dough not rising. We want to remember the redemption. The lechem oni symbolism drops out during the week. Therefore, matzah ashira is only a chisaron in lechem oni. It is not a chisaron in lehispik b'tseikam lahachmetz. So Rav Yaakov wants to argue that for the rest of Pesach, one could fulfill the Vilna Gaon's mitzvah even with matzah ashira, because the mitzvah the rest of the week is a commemoration of the redemption. It's not hearkening back to the slavery. Very, very interesting, but I just have two comments on Rav Yaakov. Comment number one is that this is not going to work for Ashkenazim, because Ashkenazim don't eat egg matzah at all during Pesach. We don't consider it kosher to Pesach. For various reasons, Sephardim do eat it, so Sephardim this would work. But comment number two is the following. If you assert, as I said, that some people say that to fulfill the Vilna Gaon's mitzvah, the matzah has to be made l'shem mitzvah, then even if egg matzah per se is a fulfillment of the mitzvah, but it wasn't made to be used at the Seder. So unless you have egg matzah that was made with specific intention, you'd run into that problem. So it's not clear that Rav Yaakov's din would have any practical relevance, but again, it is an interesting story. Yeah.
Could you have both at the Seder? Let's say, like, you can fulfill the commandment.
Oh, okay. Very, very excellent. So if you're Svardik and you maintain that egg matzah can be certified kosher lePesach, then even at the Seder you could have egg matzah as long as you're not using it for the mitzvah portions. So yes, you can in fact have the regular shmura matzah that you do your mitzvah, and you can have egg matzah, because the egg matzah is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah, but it is kosher lePesach. Now, if you're an Ashkenazi, you just couldn't do that, because Ashkenazim do not eat egg matzah for any part of Pesach unless they are children or they're old and they have difficult chewing. So then they would be like Sfardim in that connection, which means they still couldn't use it for the basic mitzvah, but they could have it as a supplement. Yeah.
How about making the matzah damp for it to be softer?
Yeah, so this is permitted. Soaking matzah in water is not making it rich. Rich is when you add fruit juice or the like. So a person who has difficulty chewing cannot eat egg matzah for the Seder, but they can soak the matzah in water, and then it gets softer and they could chew it that way, as long as it's a liquid that doesn't add a taste or change a taste. By the way, another way of doing it, although I'm not sure if this makes it easier, is they could take matzah meal. In other words, the shmura matzah could be ground. You can even buy this. It's ground into matzah meal, and they could take spoonfuls of it. Now, that may be a little hard to dig out. And then they could wash it down with water. So that would be another way they could do it. Yeah.
Is that for somebody who can't eat the matzah the normal way, or is it permissible for someone who just prefers it?
No, it's only for people who cannot eat the normal way.
Damping of the matzah?
Yeah, that's correct. You shouldn't routinely do it unless you have a need, but if you need to, it can be done, yeah.
Aren't some people worried about like matzah coming in contact with water? Like
yes. Now that's another. Okay. So that's another thing. You know, there are so many different customs about Pesach, and here is the thing: under the strict halacha, once something has been baked, it can never become chametz again. So under the strict halacha, there is no problem with matzah meal in water, and there's no problem with making matzah balls, which you put matzah meal in water and it gets boiled up and everything else. So there is no problem intrinsically. However, among many, many Hasidim, there is a supplementary custom. Okay? And it's not practiced by Sfardim and it's not practiced by most Ashkenazim either, but among Hasidim it is practiced. And that is, they do not allow any matzah or matzah product to come in contact with liquid, cold or hot, during Pesach. So they do not have matzah balls. They will not allow the matzah to touch water, except their saliva in their mouth and the like. Some of them are so strict that they will not even use butter or margarine, treating it like a liquid or jam. And their svara is that, yes, we agree that if something is completely baked, it cannot become chametz. But you never know. Maybe there's a pocket of the matzah that's not totally baked, and if some liquid hits it, it may cause fermentation. So this is a chumrah that many Hasidim have, and they take it very, very seriously. In Hebrew, this is called sheruya. They don't eat soaked matzah, but it's not just soaking, but right. And in Yiddish, it's called gebrukts. Gebrukts meaning soaked. Now it's a little confusing sometimes semantically. When people say, "I eat gebrukts," they actually mean they don't eat gebrukts. In other words, the way people often talk when they observe the custom, they say, "I eat gebrukts," but that's not the right way of saying it, because gebrukts means soaked. So when you say, "I keep gebrukts," you actually mean, "I don't eat gebrukts." Okay, so be sure you clarify that when somebody says, "I eat gebrukts," because sometimes they mean the opposite of what it says. In Hebrew, it's sheruya. Now, there was a fellow, a fascinating book he wrote. He's not totally religious, but he wrote a book about Jewish identity. I think it was called John Lennon and the Jews. Maybe I shouldn't advertise the book, but a very interesting book. So he writes about the fact that he was invited to a Seder, and this was a family that kept gebrukts, meaning they didn't eat gebrukts, and he didn't know what that was. He had never heard of this before. So he says, when they served the delicious chicken soup, he was wondering where was the matzah ball, but he said, okay, maybe they didn't make it. So he just broke some of his matzah and put it into the soup. Then he says, all of a sudden, the woman gets up with a shriek, and she takes all of the china, you know, and she throws it out of the window. So he says, what happens here? He says, "Sheruya, you can't do this." So he says, "Well, how am I going to have matzah balls and all that?" He says, "You have matzah after Pesach. During Pesach, you know, we don't do any of this." He was just describing how strange everything was for him. But yeah, that is a Hasidic custom. So obviously, Hasidim cannot do that. But those who don't keep that minhag don't have a problem. Yeah.
What is it that is Hasidic? I thought you said to him that the person shouldn't dip the matzah in the water.
Two different things. Okay. Let me clarify. Two different things. Hasidim maintain that matzah can never be dipped in water, even in the middle of the week. Nothing to do with the Seder. Mm-hmm. Ashkenazim and Sfardim say it's okay. But there's another issue. When there's a mitzvah to eat the matzah, can I dilute the matzah with water? So that, I said, you shouldn't do unless you have to. Okay? But when you're not doing the mitzvah, then for sure you could put it in water, but Hasidim would not put it in water even then, right? Two different problems. Yeah.
Last question on this. So during the 7 days of the week,
yes,
not including the Seder night, would you be fulfilling the Vilna Gaon's mitzvah to eat matzah if you dipped it in water?
I would think you would. Now, one other thing about Hasidim that's very, very fascinating, it's not relevant to Israel. That is, in the diaspora, we have, of course, the eighth day of Pesach, the extra day. So even the Hasidim, who do not allow matzah to come in contact with liquid for 7 days, on the eighth day of Pesach, they have their matzah balls, etc. There's a whole significance. How could that be? I mean, the eighth day is still Pesach in Chutz Laretz. How can they be makel on it? But be it as it may, they never adopted their chumrah for the eighth day of Pesach. Now that's not relevant in Israel, because in Israel the seventh day is a doraisa, so you can't be lenient on the seventh day. Now, this year, that raises a very fascinating question for Hasidim, and that is, I believe, I'm not sure, that the eighth day of Pesach is Shabbos. Now, if the eighth day of Pesach is Shabbos, if you're a chassid, when can you make your matzah balls? Are you allowed to cook? Now, you can't eat a matzah ball on the seventh day of Pesach, but are you allowed to cook the matzah ball on the seventh day of Pesach to be able to eat it over Shabbat? That's a big, big argument. Or do you have to forego the matzah ball? So this is an issue for Hasidim in America. The question is, even in Israel there would be a question, because Shabbat is not the eighth day, but it's not Pesach anymore. So you'd actually, that would be a shaila even in Eretz Israel. Can you cook the matzah ball for Shabbat if you made an Erev Tavshilin that allows you to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos? In Chutz Laretz would apply if the eighth day is on Shabbos, and Eretz Israel would apply if the day after Pesach is Shabbos. Right, so we actually paskin it's permitted. Well, maybe we'll discuss the halachic background later. Okay, have a good day. We'll see you later.